On this episode, David and John get to talk with Teresa Carrigal, CEO of Achieve Unite, Inc., a consulting and education company.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
And I'm John Roth.
And we're joined today by Teresa Carrigal, who is the founder and CEO of Achieve Unite, one of her many titles. She's also does consulting in the channel. It's for her own sort of Teresa Carrigal Consulting. She's a channel expert, someone that I recently met at a show out in Phoenix. And Teresa, welcome to today's episode.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. And we should also say that you were an extremely rich contributor at our session. He was very vocal and had great perspective in our...
Well, I thought he donated in some way. No, just his insight was okay. Yeah,
he donated his insights and they were very helpful to the session.
So I met Teresa out at the B2B MX show, which I'm sort of describing as the last trade show on earth before everything got shut down in Phoenix. And I sat in on her session, which she talked about empowering this channel. And it was a really, really cool session. There was people like me there. There was a gentleman from, I think, Logged Me In. But then there were all sorts of other industries there, like people from Grubhub and from other food distributors and, you know, people who had never had a channel program. And I thought it was a great sort of, for me, it was a little eye-opening because when I think about the channel, I always think about it as IT vendors, you know. But it's much broader than that. And it goes across different industries. And Teresa, I would love to hear sort of, you know, when you're preparing for a session like that, how do you make the content so ubiquitous that it fits across all these different industries?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, part of our company's philosophy on education is we subscribe to what we call the adult learning principles. And one of them is you really take the time to understand where your audience is and what is really on their mind from a learning perspective. Two is you make the conversation very interactive, so you make it more of a conversation as opposed to a one-way kind of monologue in education. And then the third one is you make it very experiential, right? So we ended up talking about people's real life examples. We talked about real life scenarios. You know, we try to make the content as geared to what our adults are learning and what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And funny enough, that's how we as adults process information. So yeah, it was all part of the science. Not really.
Tell us a little bit about Achieve Unite. What do you guys do? What's the mission behind it? You know, where, you know, our audience is a lot of partners, a lot of MSPs, IT resellers, VARs, you know, and distributors, people like that. You know, where can they find you? What are you guys up to? What's the mission there?
Great. So we are a strategy consulting and execution as well as an education company. Those are our focuses. And AchieveUnite.com, we do a lot of research on the industry. We partner with CompTIA. I'm going to share with you some really interesting perspectives from some new research we're completing. Whenever we do research, we try to do it in tandem with the university so that it's statistically viable, or we do it in tandem with real strong researchers so that it's real leading edge. We also like to work with partners. We have a leadership program, which I'll talk to you about at the end of the session today, called ACE, and that's to really empower women in the tech industry. We've got an incredible story of over 100 women who have gone through the program, and it's starting to change lives, and it's really a neat, neat experience. Yeah.
So when you guys are doing... Go ahead. When you guys are doing consulting, are you consulting with the vendors like ourselves? Are you consulting with the partners on their strategy? Are you, you know, what are you educating? Like, who's your target market?
So we consult primarily with the vendors and the distributors to help the partners. We have done some programs with partners who need to do more effective work with the vendors, but most of our clients are vendors and distributors, and helping them improve their channel, improve their partnerships, alliances. We host advisory councils. I do keynotes at partner conferences. We do a lot of work like that.
you know, you were talking about, David, that you had some people there sitting to the right and left of you that were Grubhub and a few companies like that.
Yeah.
Tell me how they fit into that channel.
You know, what's interesting is if you think about the industries in general, right? Pharma, retail, human resources, they all have insurance, they all have different distribution channels and ways they get to the market. And interestingly enough, over the last 6 months, we've started doing business with non-tech clients, helping them with their partner ecosystems or teaching them how to build their channel strategies. And it's been really interesting to see the nuances. And the fun thing is the tech industry is one of the leaders in distribution and complex go-to-market. So, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned for other industries. And there's some other industries that are also very strong in that.
Yeah, it was interesting. I felt like you know, I've only been a star, and I've only been in the sort of the telecom or UCaaS IT space now for going on 7 years, and I felt like I was like a channel veteran in there because there were so many people in there who had you know, they're just diving into it, or they're trying to figure out what the right course of action is, and it's just interesting for me because I'm usually like the newbie.
a lot of people have been in the space
for 20-30 years.
I agree. You were one of the more experienced, and your partner ecosystem is a pretty robust ecosystem. So I think that contributed to you having incredible perspective, along with a few other folks that had some rich insight.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. So you mentioned that you're doing some research with CompTIA, who is an organization we're very familiar with.
Yeah.
Actually, John's been to several of their events, and we've partnered with them in the past to do educational sessions for our partners. Tell us a little bit about the research you're doing and about sort of in the space of empowering your channel.
Yeah, so we've worked with CompTIA over the last several years. I actually was also a member of CompTIA, and then they helped me when I decided to start my own company. We actually helped them build their 101 and 201 channel management programs. We teach a lot of their CAM courses. So we really love and value the work CompTIA does. This partner experience research is actually with the research side of CompTIA, Carol and April and Tim, and it's around defining partner experience. There's been a lot of work on customer experience, and they published a great study in about September of last year on customer experience. And so we said, you know what, let's look at partner experience. So we have some interesting findings. I'd be happy to share a few of them with you.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay. Absolutely.
So what is definitely becoming clear in partner experience is there's a lot of different definitions still. So people, you know, believe partner experience is how you treat the partners. People believe it's every single interaction from the time they find you on Google until all of the support you do with them and everything in between. So the definitions are varying, and our intention is to publish a common definition over the next 3 weeks with CompTIA. The other thing that's really interesting is so much focus on the trust, the relationship. You know, it's going to get tougher, I think, for companies to have mixed strategies. You know, very clear delineation of if you're a partner company or you're not a partnering company will be very important, because partners don't want to work with companies that aren't really clear. Partners want to work with companies that are super easy to do business with. And interestingly enough, enablement is the new currency. So we did a scale rating of a number of different factors. We did enablement, we did co-selling and team selling, branding, lead generation, partner automation, and the number one currency, and everybody talked about, it's all about enablement, it's all about education, it's all about, and by the way, it's all about the kind of education, the way the partner wants to receive that education and enablement. So that was a big one. It's about communities and ecosystems, not channels. So there's a lot of different business models nowadays. And so how do you build your partner ecosystem, your partner community, to support those partners in the way they want to do business? Maybe they want to refer business to you. Maybe they want to resell. Maybe they want to offer a whole bunch of services around, you know, give them flexibility in how they engage with you and let them engage with one another, right? Think about Salesforce. think about ServiceNow building a whole ecosystems of partners that don't even transact anything, right? But they have huge, robust service capabilities around a software. It's about the solutions, not the product. So a lot of talk and a lot of our research around solutions, around business outcomes, around two or three vendors coming together to have one end-to-end solution, not a point product. That was a big focus. And this one's really interesting. The customer holds the power. I remember the days where vendors held the power. Well, in many cases, and in most cases now, we believe that the customer holds the power and the partners represent the voices of hundreds of customers. So, you know, the power equation has really shifted from vendor to customers and partners. And then last is partnering is the way that many, many, many bits of business will be done over the coming years. So there was talk 5 years ago, is the channel dead? Is partnering dead? It is more robust and more important than ever before. What do y'all think of that?
So I want to start with the first one, which is enablement. So, you know, you mentioned sales enablement, you know, marketing enablement. You know, what can you drill down a little bit further on, you know, what they're specifically looking for in enablement? Is like, I know you mentioned it's like the new currency, it's what they're looking for, but you know, are there a couple of things, are there one or two things that stand out as like the most important ways we can help enable our partners?
Yeah, there is. So one is co-selling and team selling and really engaging partners early in the sales cycle, because most of us as adults, we learn by doing. So that is very, very important, that vendor partner co-interaction. We actually offer a whole partner certification program called PPA, Partner Performance Advisor, teaching vendors and partners how to really successfully co-sell and team sell together. Two is around moving to video. Video is the number one way that all generations like to receive information. So snackable content, video, engaging content, not make it more bite-sized as opposed to, you know, 5 days of certification before you can do anything with that partner. Three is engaged enablement, right? So how can you create an engagement and an experience versus a very passive, I'm reading, I'm taking a test, I'm doing something that's all by myself. That people need ways to engage as they learn the vendor's value and they learn those solutions. Does that help?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I you know, the co-selling one is one that we have really tried to focus on over the last 12 to 24 months, well, maybe 12 to 18 months. You know, we tried to provide our partners with more of a value. You know, we're trying to go out there and, hey, say, as opposed to just asking, hey, what's in your pipeline and when is it going to close? You know, we're trying to go out and make a concerted effort to do business planning and QBRs and understand the partner's needs and how we can assist. You know, that's a little bit more challenging today than it was 6 months ago because of our current restrictions on moving and traveling. But, you know, we want to be as helpful as humanly possible. You know, so that has certainly been something that we've been focused on. It's hard to quantify a little bit in terms of, you know, you can certainly see with the partners that you're doing the amount, you know, the real focused, you know, business planning effort, you can see the results there, but you have to really prioritize those partners as best as possible. And, that's, you know, right, that the sales cycle that, you know, it takes 60 to 90 to up to 120 days for some of our wholesale partners. And, you know, it's hard to see that momentum building. It just, you know, you want to see the results and you want to get there as fast as possible. But sometimes it's hard to see that, you know, you're kind of stuck in the day to day. So I think that's been our challenge.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because we did find that business planning and planning in general with partners in QBRs are very, very important. But eliminating, and especially in this world, eliminating the complexity out of that is equally as important, right? Aligning around a set of objectives, aligning around a couple of key initiatives, you know, figuring out what the scorecard of success is and what the metrics are. You know, those are key things that you can do without doing crazy deep, you know, 5 million page spreadsheet planning kind of a thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Keep it simple, keep it results oriented, keep it activity based, you know, very key focused activities that drive business for both of you. And the interesting, someone made a interesting comment that it isn't about the funnel. It's about planning that business development work that leads to the funnel. It is about the funnel, but that's going to happen after you do these certain key initiatives that will bring you opportunities and deals and transactions.
Yeah.
And John, we've been looking at, well, I think one of the things that you and I have talked about and we're going to initiate is actually going to very, very short, you know, less than 5 minutes, even some live webinars with our existing partners to talk about, you know, a certain function. So it could be a product, a very simple 5 minute, something quick, easy, keep it open for questions afterwards, as opposed to, you know, our traditional is from a training perspective, training a new partner, it's a 5 hour event. And it's on, you know, it's in a format where to go to a meeting and try to keep something that, you know, keep their attention for 5 minutes. We're going to be initiating that very soon, as soon as some of our new product release is coming out. And I think we're going to get a good response to that, because people can keep that, you know, they'll be able to sit there through, you know, a 5 minute, and they can schedule subsequent ones after that, have a series of those, and also put that up on our, you know, our different training tools, our LMS platform as well. But I think that, you know, short, sweet, to the point, and then any additional, they can come back and ask some questions, and we'll be there for them as well to get them through some of those product sets.
I think that's really smart. We were working with another client, and we're building, you know, kind of this arsenal of those short success stories, and then they have them all recorded on podcasts so that their sales reps and their partners can use those, you know, if they're going for a run or if they want to just learn something because they're getting ready to engage with a customer that looks like that. So I think, you know, doing those and then categorizing those in a way that's really easy so that people can search on it depending on the topic that they're looking for is going to be great for you.
Interesting. So it's like we would be doing some webinar style so we can make sure the video is there. They can see us. They can see us interacting. And then from our standpoint, just from production, we could turn those into little short snippet podcast, if you will.
Exactly.
So, or YouTube or whatever else. So I think that I think we're on the right track. David was brilliant enough to come up with that idea because he's the one with the brains. I've just got
David
the
no,
brains.
I just listened to brains, Teresa. Doesn't he, John?
I just listened to, I got that from Teresa at the second.
Okay,
I just
pulled from that Teresa. From there. Okay.
Oh, Teresa has good brains then. All right.
Another donation from David. There we go.
There we go. Right. I love it. That's good.
So we talked about enablement and we talked about video. What was the third thing you said there, Teresa? I'm sorry. I'm like trying to remember everything.
Oh, no problem. So we talked about, enablement. We talked about trust being the big currency and really focusing on trust. And I would, you know, I think it's going to be very important for companies to have consistent partner strategies, right? Consistent partner strategy, consistent rules, very clear about where you're working with partners. And if you're not working with partners in a certain area, very clear, because those are the things that build trust or break down trust, right? And one of the sayings we have is it's not about the transactions, but the transactions build the trust, right? So those two have to feed each other. And you, in order to make that happen, you have to have really clear guidelines.
That's interesting. I think, you know, sometimes they can get a little blurry. You mentioned you want clear guidelines.
And your sales teams have to really be effective in working with the partners. One of the things that we've had several take-ups for our training programs, because the sellers need to learn how to work more effectively with the partners, and how do they leverage partners more effectively, and how do they contribute so that one plus one is more than two for the customer, right? Because there's no point in partnering if it's neither one of us are not bringing incremental value to the customer.
Yeah, I think the trust is obviously really important. You know, if you have a partner that trusts you and is focused on your product and your solutions and understands where you're coming from, then you got a winner. You know, if anytime you lose that trust, the partner, you know, you're going to have a very difficult time getting it back.
Yeah,
There are so many other solutions the partner could go out and sell that, you know, they're not going to put up with a lot of problems. You know, they're just going to move on. And, you know, that's an industry-wide issue. You know,
it is. Certainly it's a different game than it was 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for partners to take their business and, you know, wherever they want. And the vendors are dying for every partner they can get. So, I mean, I think, you know, the trust is huge. Like, you know, it's one of those things that it's very hard to win back once the partner leaves.
Once it's broken. Well, and here's an interesting one. And this is a subset of trust, but it's actually one of our themes outside of trust is focus on the partner's business. And the interesting concept of that is if I focus on my business partner's business first, right, and I help them with ways that they can grow their business with me, I'm building trust, I'm enabling their business to grow, and in the process, hopefully I'm selling my own solutions, right? But I'm first and foremost focusing on their business. And so that's another one of our themes in this research that was really widely brought up with many vendors who are very partner oriented, is most of their marketing and messaging is more about the partner's businesses than it is about their products and solutions. And on the flip side of that, the partners were saying, you know, don't just throw me tools. Don't just throw me, you know, a PRM. Don't just throw me a marketing automation. Throw me a whole comprehensive way for me to work with you to generate leads. Right? And make it easy for me to do that and do the whole kit and caboodle, not just one little piece of it.
So, you know, I mentioned this real quick, but I want to hit on because I think it's really important for right now, you know, for vendors and for partners, you know, are you fielding questions on how to navigate the current situation? I mean, how do you sell to a customer during this time? You know, how do you sell to a partner? How do you, you know, what should the vendors have same expectations for their partners to go out and sell? I mean, like it's a very tricky situation that we have going on right now with the coronavirus.
It is. And we're actually getting ready to launch on Friday, Leading Virtual Teams, LVT, and it's all around how do you work with your partners right now? It's a 3-week course. How do you work with your partners in a very natural, you know, because if anybody tries to sell, it's not going to work right now, right? We need to be solving problems. We need to be enabling partners. We need to be working together to help. And so that's what this program is all about. And how do you do that in a virtual environment?
Yeah, it's challenging.
It's very challenging. But there's some key strategies in how you interact, how you set the agendas, what you focus on, you know, in order to be successful, how you do effective listening and questioning and discovery, things like that are really important right now.
Yeah, I had a call earlier this morning talking with a existing partner we brought on last year. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool because we had the video set up, you know, and we're all in virtual environment. So the guy's throwing golf clubs on my wall and, you know, a couple of things, it was much more transparent and much more intimate than just obviously a telephone call, or even, I mean, to the point of being right there in front of them. I mean, literally, you could be in their office doing the same thing. But I think that we just kind of talked about, you know, some things that they needed, and totally transparent with them. Like, okay, that's not quite out yet, but I'm going to show you a couple of things that are coming that can fit into their business model. And so we've got a follow-up strategy to come on with certain products we have that are rolling out in the next week or two, and follow up back with them and give them you know, here are the bullets. Here's the things that you can take to your salespeople. We're going to make up some marketing material for them. So it's a very productive phone call. We did it within an hour. And I think that the transparency of what we were doing was very genuine. I think that that builds trust to having that transparency of telling them, you know, sometimes it, you know, that product is something that you can only probably fit into this kind of space. So don't try to expand out on that. And I think it was a very productive meeting, but of course we built some trust there. So now I've seen this guy and his partner, you know, eye to eye. I could spot him on the street. and I know what our next call is going to be about, you know.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, in this day and time. You know, about what the story you just told, video right now, video is 75% to 85% more intimate and personal than audio. So whenever possible, just like we're doing videos today, you know, use the video. We actually built our whole company over the last 3 years on video. So people hadn't met each other and they knew each other and had very deep relationships and had never met each other in person. And it was all because we happened to use Zoom video. And but regardless of which system you use, the video is really key. And then the second thing that I think was really interesting about the story you just told is, you know, it is a time to really build genuine, authentic relationships and, you know, and to really common things that we care about and really take the time to understand that. And I think for whatever reason, everybody, we're hungry to connect right now. And, you know, it's okay to be a little bit vulnerable. And I think that there's a real power in that. And hopefully lifelong new friends too.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, for over the years, I think we've kind of thought the whole video, it's been there. We kind of thought having like of a conference call. So we call into a conference bridge. We're not seeing person eye to eye. We're not seeing, you know, you can see their interaction. And I think, you know, and we're in an environment now where it's like,
it's great. It's fun to see someone, right? Cause you're kind of,
I've got a nice shirt on, but you know, down below my shorts, you know, it's one of those things, you know what I mean? It's obviously I do have pants on, so I won't go there. So, but it is something that I think, is going to be something that will just catapult us into, even after this, you know, pandemic is over, I think that people will say, wow, that was pretty powerful what we just did with that video. And I think that's the way we're going to do business in the future.
Yeah.
Totally by that. I mean, even if we could travel, you know, it's not about the expense of the travel. It's not about, you know, after this is all over, but get there. But it's like, boy, what a powerful meeting we could have and not have to worry about the travel, the expense of the travel, and the 2 days worth it takes to get there and get back. So I think it's something that is extreme. So I got a question for you. So now we typically ask this, we haven't asked it in a while, David, but I'm going to throw this out. So this is, I mean, talked to David about it. So I'm just going to do it anyway, because I don't have a buffer. I'm just going to throw it to you. So right now, if you could order a sandwich in to be delivered to your house, what kind of sandwich would it be?
What kind of sandwich would I order if I could have it delivered to my house?
Yeah.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh my goodness. Without calories and thinking about calories.
No, we don't think about it.
Your favorite sandwich. And don't worry about it. We'll get it delivered to you.
Yeah, Italian sandwich from Jersey Mike's or a chicken parmesan sub from some famous little Italian place.
Oh, that sounds
Jersey
delicious.
Mike's Italian. Would it be the 18 inch?
Oh my Lord. Yes, I would share it with my entire family for sure.
There you go. Okay.
I like how you know the sizes off the top of your head, John. You just rattle them off.
It's a morning afternoon snack. Yeah, you can save it for both. Big enough.
That's right.
Well,
Well, Teresa, I wanted to just hit on one more thing before we, you've been so gracious with your time today. I just wanted to hit on one more thing. You've got a little puppy, or I don't know if it's a puppy anymore. You got a dog sitting behind you. What's your dog's name? What kind of dog is it?
That is Bella, and Bella is a Vizsla. They're from Hungary. She's 6 years old, and she's our wild child for sure. Although you would never know it right now looking at her.
I know, she's got her head down. She looks like she's taking a little nap.
Yes, they are known to burrow their heads under their paws.
Well, she's adorable.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she is.
Thank you.
Well, Teresa, it has been great
to be here with you guys.
Yeah, it's been great chatting with you, and hopefully we can do it again. I'd love to have you come back on after the research comes out from CompTIA, and we can talk through more of it as John and I have a chance to read through it. Stay safe, stay healthy, same side.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to launch on Friday. I mentioned this. We're launching four classes, and we're going to offer some special pricing on all four of those right now.
Oh.
Just that they're all virtual video-based learning programs. All of our classes are that way, so that people can have a way to connect and also learn at the same time. So we teach in what we call a flipped classroom format, which means you're interacting and you're learning. David, you participated in a flipped classroom format when we were face-to-face.
Yeah.
But we're going to be doing that. We do all of our classes that way. And we do all of our classes over video and have been doing that for the last 2 years. So we're going to accelerate that, hopefully with vendors and partners right now.
Very cool. Well, we'll make sure that we highlight your classes that you have coming up, and we'll make sure we post those out to our partners and our vendors. And thank you so much for joining us today. For Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnoy.
And I'm John Roth.
And we'll see you next time.
Heads in the Cloud. Awesome.
Thank you.
We love having you on.